Thank you, gentlemen. Some of you may recognize that is from Psalm 46. And Psalm 46 starts off this way. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And it finishes in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The idea and the reality of God with us. That's from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, it's at the heart of his plan for you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I hope you have found the last few weeks of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 helpful. Not just for charismatic trivia night or how to argue with your non-Pentecostal friends. That's not really helpful. But to how to implement the gifts of the Spirit into your life. Paul started off that whole passage by saying, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. You could be. And I would encourage you, if you missed any of those four parts, go online, go to the bookshop, get the messages that you missed, because they all connect with each other. Amen? And I hope also, last couple weeks, as we looked at Paul's emphasis on speaking in other tongues and the incredible benefit that is for us and our personal private life, I hope that you've incorporated more of that into your life. Amen? I have a friend who, you know, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, you know, I pray in tongues more than you all. He said, my goal is that when I get to heaven, Paul can't say that of me. So, he's a pastor from Nigeria, so he just does that kind of stuff. So, he's awesome, Reverend Tokes. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, and what we've noticed is that throughout this entire epistle, Paul is talking about different issues, very varied issues, things that he was aware, some perhaps that the church had questions about. And in chapter 15, he saves a big one for the end. And it is at the heart of our belief system. It's at the heart of what Jesus did for us. And we'll just kind of do a spoiler alert here. Just go to, in chapter 15, go to verse 12. Because he says a whole bunch of stuff. But then in verse 12 is where he tells them, he emphasizes the problem. 1 Corinthians 15:12, it says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, meaning that's what I preached to you, that's what you heard, that's what we believe. So Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead. How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So there were some in Corinth, and we don't really know why. There's speculation. Maybe some were just reasoning that there are no miracles and so that Jesus really didn't raise from the dead. And they're kind of two common ones that are proposed today is that one is that because Jesus didn't, he couldn't have been raised from the dead because miracles don't happen. So either Jesus didn't die, okay, so he was just injured and then he recovered from his wounds, or that his disciples just made it up. They just made up this story, a conspiracy theory, and it spread throughout the whole world. And so Paul is saying, no, Jesus was raised from the dead, and I want to address that, the fact that he was, and what's the alternative if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead? Okay, so let's pick up his speaking to them here in 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. Okay, so when Paul says the gospel, it was a common phrase in that day, but it became known as the message about Jesus, good news, that was heralded. So the gospel was about Jesus coming, Some of us said this as a creed in churches we grew up in, that he came, he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, he died, he really died, he was crucified, he was buried, God raised him on the third day, and he ascended into heaven. And that salvation comes only through the person and the work of Jesus. So that's when the Bible says the gospel and everything that means to us, it's a message, and there are components of it. And if you take a part out of it, it's not good news anymore. Okay, so if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, if he was just a guy, if he was just a dude, right, another teacher, another rabbi, then it all falls apart. And Paul is saying if there's no resurrection of the dead, then it all falls apart. Okay, and notice here in verse 1, he said, this gospel, he said, I preached it to you and you received. That's past tense, isn't it? So they received this message. They received this Jesus. And then he says, in which you stand. That's not past tense, is it? That's today. So the gospel is something we received. So we believed it. But it is something we continue to believe. And that's a big message in the New Testament, is that it is possible that you received it, but then you walk away from it. You don't stand in it. You allow something else to influence you. The technical word be to apostatize, whether that's in full in reality or in a portion, okay? And so then he recounts that this is why you're saved. Verse 2, by which you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So notice, again, the past tense, you have believed, but you must continue to believe and hold fast. Verse 3, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. When he says according to the Scriptures, it means that the Old Testament foretold this. This was not something that was just made up in the spur of the moment. That for hundreds and thousands of years, God had a plan to bring his son, the Messiah, the Son of Man, to the earth, and he did it. All right. And so anyone who was acquainted with the Hebrew Bible or had a Jewish life should have been the first to see it and realize what God had done. And that he was buried, he rose again the third day according to Scriptures, verse 5, and that he was seen by Cephas, Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. So he's making the point that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it wasn't a private thing. He was seen by his disciples and by 500 other people, and most of those people you can still find on the earth today. A few have died. So there were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. So he's referring to the supernatural revelation that he had of Jesus, not physical Jesus on the earth before he was ascended, but when Jesus appeared to him. All right. So Paul reminds the church at Corinth of the key ingredients, the key components of the gospel that he made clear to them and that he included in his message. All right. So you believed and you stand, or you believed and you continue to believe. Everybody say continue. All right. He uses the word stand fast. Now, why do we stand fast? One of the reasons we stand fast is because the message that Paul very concisely reminded us of, the gospel, it has been under attack for 2,000 years. From within the church and from outside of the church. And so unless we are reminded, unless we stand fast, we can let what we have believed slip away. Or we can become, what the Bible says, dull of hearing or have a hard heart. And I know some of you are in this room and you're thinking, Pastor, well, I don't even really understand why Paul said this. All right. I've lived long enough as a Christian to watch people fall away. And I don't know if there's anything more sad. That for people who love Jesus and knew him, at some point in their life, they reject the very things that Paul said. There are people today who came to Miracle Life and raised their hands and today are followers of Allah. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, or another group of people he talks about here later, hedonists. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we might die, so might as well live it up today. Which is kind of the one world religion. Okay? All right. So what Paul, one of the things Paul is saying and elsewhere in the Bible is that, so that the children of Israel, they saw the cloud by day and the fire by night. They ate supernatural manna. They watched water come from a rock. They were firsthand witnesses to all these miracles, and yet they said, nah, I think we'll worship a golden calf. So if it happened to them, be careful. Oh, be sober. Not to live in fear, but to live with a healthy, that I'm a human. Could that happen to me? I better be careful that it doesn't. All right? Now, people that turn away from these gospel basics, or some of them that, not necessarily at the core of what Paul said, but things like, well, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't really go to church anymore. You know, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, how many of you know you've got a big problem, because the head of the church, Jesus, said, come together. Live one another lives. Okay? And here's what I've seen, is that most of the falling away comes as a result of personal problems, personal issues, injuries, circumstances that have happened to them, disappointments. Okay? And instead of allowing the light of God's word to help them with their disappointments, they get mad at God's word, and so they change it instead of changing themselves or asking God, God, I need your help to change. Okay? People that didn't get married as polygamists, they got married in a church and said, all others I forsake and take you as my lawful wedded wife to have and to hold in front of God and all these witnesses, I choose you in monogamy. They don't choose polygamy 20 years later because they had a revelation while reading the Bible. They make a change because of circumstances in their own life. I don't really like my wife. She's a little too overweight. She didn't give me any boys. Sir, could I tell you, you might need to go back to biology class. She doesn't determine the gender of your children. Help me, Jesus. Okay. So we get mad at God's word, and so we attack it, or we allow other people to attack it. And friends, you are just one click away on Instagram and YouTube from whacked out crazy people who will espouse their version of the Bible and God and will sway you away from the gospel. Okay? So when we change God's word to suit us, that's pride. It's self-deception. And so today is going to be a wonderful reminder. Man, don't do that. Don't do that. And I will tell you, in 40 years of following Jesus, there have been times where I come across passages or I come across sermons, and my first reaction is, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. That kind of makes me upset. All right? So have the response, but don't stay there. All right? Remember the guy that came to Jesus? Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. At least he was asking, wasn't he? At least he was able to say, unbelief is unbelief. It's not my truth, okay? It's unbelief. God, help me with my unbelief. Boy, he will answer that prayer fast if you ask him to. Amen? All right. So, if there is no resurrection, all right, then here's in verses 12 and 15, basically what Paul is saying there is, he said, then we've lied to you. All right? Then that's a pretty serious accusation, that if Jesus really wasn't raised from the dead, then we lied, and maybe nothing we said to you is true. Okay? So one is kind of personal on Paul's side, but then he said the results of Jesus not being raised from the dead to you are catastrophic. Are catastrophic. All right? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, so no one can be raised from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. We're not saved. There is no salvation apart from Jesus being raised from the dead. Then, so that affects you and your salvation. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're in hell. All the people in Corinth that have already died having believed Jesus, they just believed in a fable. They just believed in nonsense, silliness. And they are perished. They are dead in their sins, and now they're dead for eternity. For if in this life, everybody say this life. If in this life we have hope in Christ only, we are of all men the most pitiable. All right? So without the key elements of the gospel, it crumbles. It goes away. Okay? And if salvation, if Karl Marx was right that religion is the opiate of the masses, that it's just a way for us to kind of get by in the struggles of this life, then we, those who follow Jesus, this fable, then we are the most pitiable people on earth. Just goofballs and silly. Okay? But how many of you know there is an empty tomb, and he is risen, and he was seen by hundreds, and he does sit at the right hand of the Father, pleading our case, and he is coming back again, and the gospel is true, and Jesus can be trusted. All right? So Paul is talking about one scenario that was happening in the church of Corinth, that no one's raised from the dead, and Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. And so taking that pillar from the gospel, it crumbles. You're dead. All your friends in Jesus are in hell. And we're the most pitiful, ignorant people in the world. Okay? Now, there are common today gospel attacks. Okay? And the resurrection of the dead is one of them. The virgin birth is another. That's impossible. How could someone be born on the earth without the normal biological ways that people get born? That's a fable. That's made up. Okay? So, but there are other attacks from modern science, but also from other religions and cults. And one of them is that Jesus is not the Son of God. That Jesus is not God. Jesus is not eternal. Jesus said, remember when he was talking about himself, he said, I am. I am, meaning the I am that revealed himself to Moses, I am. John said, in the beginning was the Word was made flesh. Okay, so Jesus existed before he had a body. All right? And I know some, I'm sure I'm going to get an email or two about this, but friends, the JWs are wrong. They changed their Bible to suit their wrongness. Okay? That Jesus is not God. There's only one God, the Father, and he had a son, and they changed the whole gospel. Okay? And I know sometimes JWs can make really good employees, and sometimes they can be honest. Okay? And we've probably all of you have relatives. All right? But if they are believing in hardcore JW theology, they are going to hell forever. Unless they believe something else. And please don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. Okay? There is only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and his name is Jesus. So anything that attacks the deity of Jesus, run. Run far away from it. Okay, and I don't care if they have colorful, cute magazines in local languages. Throw them away. Get rid of them. They're worse than pornography in your home. Okay? Get rid of them. They're full of lies. Okay? I got one amen and a whole lot of nervous laughter. Okay? Okay, I got a few other amens. Okay. So Jesus is not the Son of God. Run from that. Okay, another common one today is that all religions are the same. We just call God by different names. We are the world. We are the people, whatever, you know. Take a stand, hold hands, come together. Let's not fight over religion anymore. That's not the gospel. No, we don't fight anybody. But we stand fast. We stand fast for what we believe. All right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against people. But there are demonic influences in the world today, folks. And there have been for 2,000 years, ever since Jesus came. They're trying to keep us away from this. All right? Even within religion, you know, where there's a cross and there's Jesus mentioned, but sometimes churches can slip from the gospel and say that church membership saves you. Or certain ordinances give you saving grace. Mm-mm. No, ordinances help us to remember like we're remembering today. Thank God for communion. Thank God for water baptism. Okay, but water baptism doesn't save you. All right? When I got baptized as a 3-month-old baby, I was not saved. I became a wet baby. That's the only thing that happened to me on that day. Okay? Hallelujah. There was a dear, dear person in the church that visited the church. Somebody had brought her years ago. And she was Hindu. And she came up to me after service and said, I'd like to request prayer for healing. And she said, would Jesus heal a Hindu? I said, sure. I said, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he healed all kinds of people. And so we prayed together and other people followed up on her and she was healed. And so someone from church said, let's go visit her. And so we did. And we went to her house and there was on her mantelpiece a picture of Jesus. All right? With her three other Hindu gods. Okay. So she added Jesus. But she didn't replace the other ones with Jesus. You get it? So that's a problem, isn't it? Okay. He's the Most High God. All right. What's the first commandment of 10? We'll have no gods beside him. Okay. So that's central. Okay. So be careful, be careful. And there are popular people who are highly successful. Okay. So if you want to be inspired to be generous, then it might be good to watch a clip from Oprah. But if you want to learn the gospel, please don't listen to Oprah. Okay, but please understand, I'm not insulting your relative by bringing up Oprah's name here today, okay? She believes all paths lead to God. You know, the man she lives with is not her husband, right? Living in open sin. You think God's going to strike me down for talking about Oprah? I like Oprah. I really like, I like her show. I mean, she's inspiring, okay? I pray that she gets back to her Baptist Christian roots that she was raised in. Amen. Okay, but I'm just using her as an example because you hear this stuff and it influences you. And it influences your heart, okay? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Okay, so then Paul goes on. So if the resurrection didn't happen, then we're pitiable. Pitiful. Okay, we are dead. Our friends are dead. Okay, but Jesus was risen. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts to end to rule all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy that will be destroyed, everybody say will be, is death. Okay. Is death destroyed today? In a sense, no. Okay. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is expected. Now, when all things are made subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So, there is the final enemy of physical death. And one of the things we have to understand is that you and I are spirit, soul, and body. We're made up of three components. Some would say we're the inner you and the outer you, all right? But there is salvation instantly for the inner you, for your spirit. You are born again. You are made alive. You have passed from death to life. But what about your body? Your body is doomed. Your body is doomed. Don't be sad. It's just, right? Those of us that are aging, yeah, things just start changing. And they're not coming back. Right? Okay. And there isn't physical immortality that any of us are going to cheat death. All right? And so that's why when we do a Christian funeral, we have a gravesite service that is done in faith. That this is like a seed that is being planted into the earth, but that which is mortal will one day see immortality. That God will raise him or her up in that day. And there'll be a reunification of the spirit and the resurrected body. So the fact that Jesus was raised physically from the dead, the Bible says that's the first fruit. What's the second fruit? Your resurrection. Your resurrection. Well, Pastor, what if I get eaten by sharks? And God's bigger than sharks, right? All right. But our bodies are resurrected into immortality. And Paul called this body, he said, it's a tent. It's a temporary home. But one day we have a permanent home. God cares about your body. And thank God that from the time until we die, aren't you glad for divine healing? Aren't you glad for physical health and that we can pray for one another? We expect God wants us to have this body that will die to be on the earth for a long time. We have a big job to do, and it's a long job, and it's an important job. So we can't just check out of here too early. Amen? All right? So he said that there is an enemy that will be destroyed. And so this gives us hope. So every funeral we attend, and when we ourselves breathe our last breath, as a Christian, what we believe deeply because of the resurrection of Jesus is, this is not the end. This is not the end. This is a comma in the story, all right? And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we can't see that physically, but we believe it deeply. Amen? All right. So when we believe that the resurrection of Jesus is our resurrection, and it is the hope for our future, it gives us a different perspective on what the Bible refers to as this life. This life. Okay? Meaning our physical existence. The two numbers that will be on your grave. Okay? One number is set. Right? The day you came. All right? The other number, well, to be continued, right? All right? Live. The Bible says if you live like a fool, then that number will be soon coming. That's what the Bible says. All right. So, this life is not all there is to life. All right. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians, in this same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. We read that. 2 Timothy 2:4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. So Demas made a decision not to continue in his gospel assignment. Why? Because he loved this present world. This present world. This life. Now, here's, I think, the challenge for all of us. And when I see that Demas walked away from his assignment and left Paul because he loved this present world. Have you discovered there are a few things in this world that are rather lovely? Okay? And there are many, many of them are wonderful because they're gifts from God. They're gracious. I truly believe that people that don't know God, one of the things that I've seen around the world, people love to get in, they love to be in nature. Go to the bush, go to mountains, see streams, right? See beautiful things. Why? Because it's the closest thing they'll ever get to God in this life. Because the Bible says he put eternity in the hearts of every person. Okay? The heavens declare the glory of God. All right? So this life, we have promises in this life from the Bible. We sang today that it's from a psalm that we would see His goodness in the land of the living. Will we see His goodness on the other side? Even more. But will we see it in this life? Absolutely, we'll see it in this life. All right? But because Jesus was raised from the dead, we see this life with a different perspective. That not everything that I'm working for is for this life. Okay? You know, the saying, you can't take it with you, is very true. Okay? That whatever you leave behind is truly you've left behind. Okay? But when we believe in the resurrection, we also have a perspective that there is something that you and I do carry with us past this life into the next life. And it's not your car, right? It's not the jersey of your favorite soccer team. A moment of silence for the Copper Queens. Right. Oh, well. Alas. You saw what our former coach did with France, right? The white shirt man, right? Okay. So the stuff of this life, none of that goes to the next life. You know what goes to the next life? Human souls. Human souls. People that you and I reach with the gospel and for Jesus. Okay. When you and I build a next-gen complex and we train 400 Rhema students every week and 1,200 M kids and merge and youth and we're pouring into the salvation of the next generation, guess what? That's not this life. All that stuff goes to the next life. And that's why Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on this earth. Moth and rust, taxes, inflation. It gets attacked, doesn't it? All right? Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Untouchable wealth. The wealth of people. The wealth of people who are redeemed. The true preciousness of this earth are the people that Jesus died for, that we can minister to, that we can nurture, that we can help, that we can help cross the finish line into heaven and to bring people with us when we get there. And so the resurrection tells us there's more to this life than this life. Amen. And it gives us a perspective. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we prioritize life. Oh, it will radically change the way you do money. Radically change the way you think about money. Amen. And it should. All right. And then just lastly, let me just mention this. Paul talked about this in verse 32. He said, verse 15 and 32, he says, if in the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, and then he quotes a philosophy of the day, and it was actually quoted by Isaiah the prophet, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Meaning, when we die, it's over. You might as well eat as much down here as you can. Live for pleasure. If I didn't know Jesus, that, I promise you, that would be my religion. That would be my religion. It makes the most sense. But because of Jesus, it's a lie. It's false. Luke 12:19. Then this was a parable that Jesus was saying, and this was a man who was not thinking about the next life. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, You have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And here's a caution that I have for you. Don't idolize people whom God calls a fool. Okay? So an unsaved sportsman who shacked up with his model wife, standing in front of all his cars and his mansions, and then that's the screensaver of your computer. And you think, oh, hallelujah, praise God. Right? Some of you are too late to be to join the Saudi League of football. $1 billion, right? And we idolize these people who are accumulating all this stuff without any knowledge of God, totally ignoring God, right? And we emulate, but the Bible says they're a fool. They're a fool, aren't they? So I don't want to look up to those people. They might entertain me at the movies or on TV or I'm playing a sport, but they're not my heroes. They're not my heroes. My heroes are those who live for Jesus and bury their spouse with a smile on their face and are faithful to God and make a difference in this earth and raise up their kids and their grandkids and help build churches and help impact the kingdom of God. Those are our heroes. They're not Instagram heroes, but who cares? Amen. So we think differently when we think about the resurrection.